When I was a kid, a few times each summer, my family would make the trek from Brazil, Indiana, where I spent my younger years, to Askins, Kentucky. Ever been there? I'd be really surprised if you've ever been there. About an hour east of Owensboro. And that's where my Mamaw and Papaw Hedden lived, my mom's parents. And for a little kid, it was both an exciting and a grueling ride because it was a four-hour drive on the roads at that time to get from our driveway to their driveway way out in the country. There were good moments on the trip, usually at the beginning when there was excitement and we were going to Mamaw and Papaw's. But somewhere about halfway during that trip, I and my two older brothers in close quarters, usually about by the second hour, by about the time we got to Jasper, things started getting a little ugly. We would start pushing each other's buttons, and inevitably there was someone who threw a fit, and I, being the youngest, was probably the one most guilty of that, but probably the most abused and oppressed during that trip, so it's justified. And did I mention we didn't have air conditioning in our car? The highlight of the trip was when we approached Owensboro, and from a distance we could see the Big Blue Bridge that spans the Ohio River, and we knew we were getting close. And so as we would get a little north of Owensboro, we were always sort of looking to look for the Big Bridge, and we would shout it out, "There's the Blue Bridge! There's the Big Blue Bridge!" Meaning we were really close to getting out of that car. If you've been a parent of small children traveling on a long trip, you've undoubtedly heard that question, "Are we there yet?" Or some variation of that. How much farther? I want to get out of this car. Sometimes that question gets asked when you're barely out of the driveway. The best you can hope for is that your child or your children fall asleep and wake up in the driveway at your destination. At least was our hope as young parents with young children. But I like to think of the book of Revelation, and boy, the book of Revelation has been interpreted so many ways, and each of those interpretations bring with them some insight to this very complex book, but also it can be very simple too, not simplistic, but very simple in some of the things that it reveals to us. But this morning I would like to think of the book of Revelation as the revelation of this road trip that we are on, that all of us are on. We're all packed into this vehicle called Earth and in a journey called life. And the book of Revelation reveals to us what this trip is all about and how this trip called life fits into a bigger cosmic story that's playing out in an eternal space that's both beyond what we can physically sense, but also inextricably tied into our world. The book of Revelation provides the big picture that Job was so hungry to hear. We talked about Job last month, and you remember he was trying to get answers. He did not have the book of Revelation before him at that time, but the book of Revelation reveals some important answers about this journey that we have on life, in life. And the book of Revelation reveals not only what is to come, which is the way most people look at it, but also what was and what is. It reveals what the eternal God has done, what he's doing, and what he will do in the unfolding of his plan for his creation and for us, his people. And so the book of Revelation is a snapshot of eternity. It's not just about the end times, but it's a revelation of eternity, which is now and which is always. And so it reveals to us this cosmic activity that's taking place just beyond our senses. And this heavenly activity is as real and is as relevant to us as what happens in our daily lives. in our daily schedules, our daily tasks, the little things that we do. It's just as important. What's happening just beyond our senses in the heavenly realm is just as important and relevant as what's happening in what we would say the real world. And this is made clear if you go back to the first chapter of Revelation in verse 8, when Jesus says to John the Revelator, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." So we're getting a glimpse of the book of Revelation of not only the future, but of what God has been up to and what he's up to even now. And what's finally revealed to us is that God has a plan. And that plan is unfolding. It's unfolding in the heavenly places, and God desires it to be enacted in our lives. Not just down the road, but now, today, in this moment. That's why we pray every Sunday, "Let it be on earth as it is in heaven." We desire for the things that John saw in that great revelation to unfold in our own lives and in our own world. And so consequently, our work as saints that we have for this very short period of time on earth, as Jesus taught, our work is not to lay up treasures on this earth or fall asleep until we pull into heaven's driveway. But remember how often in the Gospels Jesus tells his disciples to be watchful and to remain awake. No, we're to join in the work of the saints here on earth that's taking place even in heaven now. What's taking place in heaven? In heaven, we heard today that God is making something new. Again, that's why we pray, "Lord, make it on earth as it is in heaven," because we're always needing something new to get us out of the messes that we create in our lives. Did you make a few of those this week? Just one? Ultimately, what will be made new is this: there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be no veil between heaven and earth. The clouds will be rolled back as a stone, as the song says. And what it will be revealed will be heaven and earth, a new heaven and earth. But what we do is we tend to think strictly dualistically about heaven and earth. We have in our minds that we're way down here on earth, and God and divine things are way out there in heaven, as if heaven could be visited by the Star Trek Enterprise. You know, they could stop by and check in how things are going in heaven, way out there. We joke about the man upstairs. We sing of the sweet by and by way out there in the sky. So we have in our minds these two experiences, that of heaven and earth, that we see as worlds apart. Of course, those are just metaphors for what seems to many people is a great divide between heaven and earth. When in reality, when the scriptures reveal this, heaven and earth are not so far apart. They're not so far apart. And so I want to equip us with a few thoughts this morning about reality regarding heaven and earth as it's described to us in the scriptures. And I hope that these thoughts will give us a hope to continue our work as saints among the saints, those saints who are living and those saints who are living in heaven. And there's three things I'd like to food for thought this morning. First of all, we've already alluded to it, and is this notion that heaven and earth are not so far apart. Heaven is not so far away as we would imagine. They are really continuations of the same reality. Heaven is not way out there in outer space. The Bible describes the distance between heaven and earth as a thin veil or a thin layer of clouds that when the clouds are pulled back, it reveals a glimpse of this heaven. It's just beyond. It's a place, but it's a space. It's a space just beyond this world that we call earth. When Stephen's being martyred, he looks up into the sky, and it says the clouds are pulled back and he sees the heavens. At the moment when Christ dies on the cross, we're told that the veil is torn between heaven and earth, between us and God. These are sacred images that remind us that heaven is not so far away. Sometimes the clouds pull back even in our own lives, and in a rare occasion, maybe you have got a glimpse of heaven. A few of you have shared some enlightening moments where heaven was revealed and you realize that heaven and earth are not so far apart. So as we remember All Saints Day today, first of all, let us ponder this notion that we find in Revelation that heaven and earth are not so far away, or so far apart. And for this reason, it would follow that the saints who have passed are not so far away. The saints that are in reality in that sacred space just beyond what we physically sense. If it's a thin veil, if it's a metaphorically a layer of clouds between us and our senses and heaven, then the saints who've gone before us, who are at the altar, they're not so far away. They're just beyond. They're just beyond. In fact, for this reason, there are Christians in some Christian traditions, such as the Eastern Orthodox, who pray to the saints. One Christian in that tradition says this. He says in Hebrews chapter 11, there's this discussion of the saints of the Old Testament. And then at the beginning of chapter 12, it's explained that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who is that cloud of witnesses? Well, it's the saints that have gone before us. In other words, the church is fully alive. We talk about those who have passed as if they are dead, but those who died in Christ are alive in Christ. And they're not so far away. And so those who lived before us on earth are still alive in a space just beyond our physical senses. And they are now pursuing, and we find this in Revelation, that they're pursuing communion and prayer with Christ at the altar. So the saints are just beyond the thin veil. They're worshiping at the altar of God just as we are. So when we partake of Holy Communion this morning, our loved ones and the saints who've gone before us, as we kneel at the altar, they're kneeling at the heavenly altar with our Father. So heaven and earth are not so far apart. We and the saints who've gone before us are not so far apart. And then finally, I would say we can be assured that our Lord is not so far away. This triune God, the God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is everywhere present. The great insight of Christianity is that God dwells in heaven and on earth through Jesus Christ. Through God is with us, through Emmanuel, through Jesus. So heaven is not far away, the saints are not far away, and the Lord is not far away. That's good news. That's an encouragement to keep up the work, to keep the faith and the hope that drives the work for the church, that continues the task of expanding the gospel, that continues the work of sharing the gospel with those that we come in contact with, of doing the work of Christ, of sharing with those who are suffering and those who are hurting and those who are in need. Those are the things that the saints do. And that reflects an image of what God is unfolding in heaven and will reveal fully to us one day when Christ returns. And that is a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more crying. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more suffering. And we will be with the saints in glory, as we sang this morning. But we're not to fall asleep until we pull into the driveway of heaven. As tempting and as lulling as that can be sometimes, we're to get into the church pick a lane, and head down the road and do our work. There is so much work that needs to be done in the church and in our community today. And it really takes every saint. It takes every one of us. And a motivation for me, and I hope for you, is to know that this heaven that I long for is not so far away. And the saints that I miss and who worked alongside me and who raised me and taught me and were an inspiration to me, they're not so far away. And that my Lord, my brother Jesus, is not so far away. In fact, he is Emmanuel, and he's here with us. So all of this is to communicate a hope. Remember, God is in the hope. Now, among unreligious folks in the world, hope is just a wish. Those are interchangeable words in the secular world. I wish I could go to Disney World. I wish I could win the lottery, you'll hear people saying in the world. But biblical hope is something different. It's something more rich and more profound. Biblical hope is the confident expectation that God has done and is doing what he promised he would do, and namely, that is creating something new. I am making a new thing, the Lord says to John. There's some good news for you. He's making a new thing. Is your life sort of messed up right now? The Lord's making a new thing. Are you not where you want to be in life right now? The Lord is making a new thing. Are you just concerned and anxious and worried about this world that we live in and it seems to be falling apart all around us? The Lord is making a new thing. And where this is all being created and unfolding and planned and being revealed to us is not too far away. It's not way out there. If we just got in a spaceship, we could go far enough and get to heaven. It's just beyond. And we'll be there one day. Those of us who have put our faith in Christ, we'll stand at that door and we will see the heaven and we will experience the new heaven and the new earth that our Lord spoke of to John. And we can walk in with the robe of Christ around us, knowing that we did his work, knowing that the church was the church, that we weren't a country club, that we weren't a historical society, but we were the church. We were a living, breathing hands and feet and mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus. And that's what he calls us to be. Paul says, wake up, O sinners, O sleepers. Jesus says, be watchful. Wake up. And get to work with the saints. The saints who are living at the altar of heaven are doing their work. They're praising God. They're kneeling at that altar and they're singing with a host of heavenly angels. But our work is the work that Jesus did while he was on earth. And that is to show kindness and gentleness and forgiveness and compassion and mercy and love. Let's pray together. Father, how comforting to be reminded this morning through the revelation of your son Jesus to the servant John, that heaven is not so far away, that the saints who've died before us are not so far away, and that your son Jesus, Emmanuel, is with us, strengthening us for the task and for the work that belongs to us and that we must own as your church. Father, place that obligation, place that burden upon our hearts to be your church, to be the saints in love with Christ on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.